Welcome to Our House, the only complete on-air resource for your home ownership needs. Now, here's the host of Our House, Peter Hunt.
Good morning and welcome to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and this show is brought to you by the all-new HuntRealEstate.com. We're days away from unleashing our whole new website, which will be, in my opinion, the finest of its kind in the United States. We've been working at it literally for years, and it's now ready to go. April 30th is the day. But tune in anytime. We're still operating with the existing HuntRealEstate.com, which still provides you with everything you need to make the homeownership and real estate experience a good one. So HuntRealEstate.com is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA here in Buffalo Niagara, all across upstate, and even out to Phoenix, Arizona. And we are also in the western suburbs of Boston, Massachusetts. And the show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage. Call them today, 633-3700. Ask one of our skilled mortgage consultants to work with you to find the lowest rate and closing costs for your particular home financing needs and wants. And that's a guarantee of ours. Ask about any of our other exclusive programs, including our pre-purchase commitment that allows you at no cost or risk to effectively enter the market to find your next home with cash. And you want to do that today because we still have an inventory shortage, not just here, but throughout the country. And it's kind of an interesting thing where we analyze the reasons why and what causes and effects would have to be there if things were to change. And we can't find any good reason for the inventories to grow suddenly or any other way unless there was a total collapse of the marketplace, which is hardly likely today given the economic data that we've received lately, even here in Buffalo. So please check out that pre-purchase commitment because you want to be able to compete aggressively if you do find the house that you want. And in many cases, we have multiple offers. So I encourage you to call today, 633-3700, and look for that personalized and customized knock-your-socks-off service that we're very proud to bring to you. And check out that low-rate guarantee. And don't forget about the first-ever 24/7 365 real estate hotline, the Hunt Hotline, which gives you access to all available information about any property listed for sale here in our area, all across upstate, and even out to Phoenix, Arizona. And that's any property. It doesn't have to be ours. It doesn't have to be our listing. It can be any listing. You know, you drive by a house and you see a sign with 14 phone numbers on it and pictures and all kinds of stuff on there. Just forget about it. Dial 631-4800 and enter the street number of the house you want to know about, no matter whose listing it is, and the hotline will prompt you with a choice of street names. Select the one you want. You'll hear a brief description, and then you'll be texted a link to a dedicated website on that particular property, all automatically, just that fast, anytime in any market we serve. That 631 number is the Western New York number. We have separate numbers in each of the other markets, so if you're here in our listening area directly, you can call that number, 631-4800, on any listing, whether it's ours or any of the brokers. We are in the spring market. As I mentioned earlier, we do have a shortage of inventory. And if you're thinking about selling your home, there's probably never been a better time. The demand is as high as I've ever seen it on a per listing basis. Market time is as short as I've ever seen it. And the opportunity for you to capitalize on your investment probably could never be better than it is right now. So if you're thinking about selling your home, think about calling a Hunt Real Estate ERA professional because they're the only ones that can look you in the eye. In addition to telling you about the market, but say this to you, we will sell your home or ERA will buy it. That's our unique seller security plan available only to clients of Hunt Real Estate ERA professionals. We are the official real estate and relocation provider of our hometown professional teams, the Buffalo Bills, the Buffalo Sabres, and even the Rochester Americans, although none of them are playing now. We hope that they're stocked up. I hope the Bills are stocked up anyway with the draft. Our first draft choice looks to be a winner, and I don't know about the others, but I'm hoping that we'll have a tremendous team to put in the field this summer and fall. We are broadcast live here at WBEN 930 AM, and if you'd like to participate in today's show, call us here in the studio 803-0930 or 1-800-616-9236 if you're long distance and star 930 if you're mobile. Those are all free calls. And you can also text us at 30930 if you just want to provide some information or ask a question. You can do it anonymously right there. We have a very special show for you today. In the studio with me today is Clotilde Perez Bode-Dedecker. That's a whopper of a name. I love that. It takes me about 5 minutes to say it, but it's a beautiful name. Anyway, Mrs. Dedecker is the president and CEO of the Community Foundation. Welcome back, Clotilde. It's good to have you back.
Thank you, Peter. I'm glad to be back.
It's been way too long. I think it's been years, actually, since you've been on last time. And last time you were on, we were talking about a relatively new initiative at the time, the Say Yes initiative, which has since blossomed and really taken hold. We've had David Rust, the head of that organization, on several times in the meantime to bring us up to date, and we just issued a new report recently, which is pretty shocking in terms of the success, in terms of the graduation percentage. And maybe you'd like to comment on that, because you've been deeply involved with the foundation on that.
Yes, it's extraordinary to see the progress that Say Yes has been able to deliver. The Community Foundation was very privileged and humbled to be part of brokering this unprecedented partnership. You know, for years, Peter, we had all sorts of organizations working really, really hard to help students that aspire to greater academic achievement, but there had been very little coordination in that effort. And Say Yes brought everyone around the table, public, private, and nonprofit partners, to create a coordinated response to remove barriers and provide supports to help kids that want to achieve academically. And at the end of the day, it's just been extraordinary, as you say. We have increased the high school graduation rate in the Buffalo Public Schools by 16 percentage points. That statistic will touch the future in ways we can only begin to imagine, but for sure, it's going to give employers in Western New York a much better pool of candidates for workforce.
You know, along those lines, you were talking at again, years ago when we first were talking about this on the air, that this was really a long-term view, that it wasn't, we can't change things like graduation rates overnight, but it almost happened. It was amazing how fast things turned around.
True, and that's the power of collaboration and continuing to problem solve together, where everybody brings their assets to the table and says, all right, I can do this, if you can do this, if you can do that. We have actually managed, and when I say we, this is a collective of over 200 partners, we have actually managed to reverse a 30-plus year trend of declining high school graduation rates in just 6 years. And the trend now is on the upward swing, not only for high school graduation rates, but for matriculation into programs after high school. Look, if you graduate with a high school degree in this community, it is very difficult to get a job beyond minimum wage, so you will live in poverty. So the end point here of Say Yes is whether a student wants to get a certificate in the trades, an associate's degree, or a bachelor's degree, something that will help that student prepare for the jobs that are available in our community today. So at the end of the day, it's all about expanding our choices for workforce.
And the promise of Say Yes simply is what? That they will have an education.
Yeah, the promise of Say Yes is that students will be able to fulfill their potential and their academic desires so that they can be prepared to be a fully contributing member of our mainstream economy, so that they can pay taxes, so that you can sell more homes, so that car dealers can sell more cars, so that restaurants can sell more meals. You get the picture. The more folks we have working and earning family-sustaining wages, the more expanded our economy becomes. So we don't have a good pair of hands to waste as we build the future of Western New York. And at the end of the day, it's all about workforce and it's all about jobs.
Speaking of that, we are known for being not a terribly wealthy community.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that we have right at our disposal, obviously, are the people that already live here. And obviously, educating them and preparing them better is critically important. But you are, the Community Foundation has a broader reach than just Say Yes. And I don't want to limit the discussion to just that. Take us back a step or two and tell us what the Community Foundation is and how it got here, how long you've been around. This is your centennial year. That
yes.
is an indicator.
Yeah, we're celebrating our first century of service. The Community Foundation was actually founded by George Rand, who was then the head of Marine Midland Bank. And he understood the efficiencies and the buying power could be greater for families and individuals who were interested in charitable giving if they shared services and co-invested their charitable assets and had the benefit of an organization who had deep understanding of the community's needs. So in 1919, he founded the Community Foundation, which was a concept he borrowed from Cleveland, Ohio, where the first Community Foundation was created by a friend of the Rockefellers. And today, a century later, we have a team of 35 professionals. We have over $485 million in charitable assets under management, And we have more than 400 active clients, while we are also carrying on the legacies of an additional 500 clients who are no longer with us. And in 2018 alone, we awarded $22 million at the request of our clients to create lasting impact in Western New York and beyond. Of course, people have communities beyond Western New York that they want to support. So at our core, we are a foundation of foundations.
So an individual, if they wanted to participate in this foundation, their gift to you is really under your administration and guidance, or can someone put money in and say, I'd like it to go here, there, or someplace else?
Yes. So basically, we offer back office services and investment services, and we are your staff. So our clients do their giving through us, and that can be send $100 to this organization today or send $10,000 to this organization at any, you know, given time. It is completely driven by our clients while we offer back office services. Having said that, about a third of our assets represent clients, mostly through testamentary vehicles that establish endowments that will perpetually address the changing needs of this community over time. So it is those very flexible assets that we use to convene these collaborative efforts to address critical issues as we look to building a stronger Western New York community. But it's a mix of client-driven charitable giving and community investment.
In a broader sense, we have several foundations around town that are doing very good things.
Mm-hmm.
How do you collaborate? If you collaborate, what happens behind the scenes? Because I think a lot of people, they hear about, they see something going on, like with an art gallery or something like that.
Sure.
They see a gift from the Community Foundation and other foundations. How does all that happen?
Yes. So, again, we're a foundation of foundations. So we have over 900 foundations under our umbrella, and each one has their own approach to giving. What we do is set the table for collaborative solutions. The serious challenges and the opportunities in our community far and away exceed the reach of any one philanthropist, any one foundation, any one nonprofit agency. So to the degree that we can come together around shared goals, we, like the Say Yes example, Peter, are much more likely to bend the trends. So that is the work of philanthropy in general, is to continually seek opportunities for us to work together in new ways to get to new results.
One of the problems that we see in the community, though, is that an individual donor is hit from all sides by various different organizations.
Yes.
And they say, well, if you give to the Community Foundation, make sure you designate us or the United Way or whatever the case might be, Catholic Charities, whatever it might be.
Sure.
Isn't that a kind of a complex thing for you to kind of weave through? And also, how do you sell the notion that through these collaborations that you describe, that you might be a better arbiter of the whole mix of demands that seem to come from our community?
Well, what we do is philanthropic advising to those clients that so choose to have that service that we offer to our clients based on their interest. Some individuals are very clear. They like to give to their, you know, kids' schools, their place of worship, their alma mater, and that's fantastic. That's a really important stream of charitable support for institutions. Other individuals want to do that and have a more strategic approach, so they ask us to help them think through based on their personal values, priorities, and interests. Philanthropy is a very personal activity, so we do philanthropic advising for individuals and for families. You often see three generations, the grandparents, the parents, and the grandchildren come to us and ask us to facilitate their framework for giving, and it's an exercise in passing on their family values and the importance of community engagement. But it is highly personal, and it is driven by the individual and or the families.
Do you find that it's kind of the, like in politics, they say sometimes politicians go by the last person that comes into their office and tells them what they think? I think a lot of that sometimes happens with a business owner or something like that. The last demand that they or request that they get via email or somebody knocking on their door, calling them up, becomes so compelling that they just go with that just to almost get rid of people, as opposed to really a thoughtful process like you described.
Sure. Well, there are so many great opportunities to make a difference in our community. There's a lot of people and literally thousands of nonprofits doing great work. So it really needs to start with an individual, a business owner, employees of a company, thinking through the needs in the community and then deciding what's important to them. That is the best way to approach philanthropy rather than scattershot. Mm-hmm. And you can always set aside a pot for, you know, the smaller gifts that help others that are doing good work that may be related to your business and that may be customers of the organization, while you set aside a more strategic investment for those things that are really critical and important to the company and its employees.
Do we have too many nonprofits in our community? That was one of the things, you know, years ago we used to talk about. And
yeah, that's a hard question to answer. What's too many? What's enough? I think ultimately, again, who's doing great work and how do you define great work is, you know, who's meeting the needs. There are two points of intervention for meeting the needs. There's this point of intervention that we're most familiar with, and that is addressing the symptoms of systems that need to be changed. So that's important giving, and that's sort of meeting the needs of today. But then there's also the strategic opportunity to strengthen systems that create these symptoms, right? And that's the work where the collaborative efforts are really critically important, right? How do we strengthen the reentry system? For example, in Erie County, we have an 82% recidivism rate. Why? Because we do not have a good support system in place when folks that have served their sentence for their transgressions come back into the community. So we leave them little option but to reoffend. So that's an opportunity that the Community Foundation is currently working on through the Racial Equity Roundtable. And that is to help reentering citizens succeed and prepare to get jobs and actually become productive residents in our community. So these are the types of choices that every philanthropist and every foundation needs to make in terms of symptoms and strengthening systems. And the only way to really strengthen symptoms or systems is to work with all the stakeholders together to make the policy and practice changes that reduce the symptomatic needs that our community faces day to day.
We are a very giving society in the,
yes, we are.
In the United States, more so than any other country in the world by a long shot. And one of the arguments is that we are that way is because we depend less on government for the kind of systemic change you're talking
yes.
about to relieve the systems, the symptoms you're talking
right,
about.
Right.
Yet every time we turn the television on, there's some politicians saying that they're going to solve all these problems for us.
Yeah,
how do you work with government, I guess?
We do on a very regular basis because you and I pay taxes. And the degree to which we can help government be more effective and more efficient in partnership with the private sector given, we've really moved the ball down the field. So government is not the bad guy. Government is funded by you and I. And it is our duty as citizens to help government succeed. And we have to be very open to the fact that sustainability for many of these issues will come from our tax dollars. And we're blessed to have a county executive and a mayor who really understand this. And the foundation works very closely with county government and with city government on these cross-sector collaborative efforts like Say Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We could not do Say Yes without county government. We could not do Say Yes without city government. They are key and critical partners, and we certainly couldn't do it without the Buffalo Public Schools and Dr. Kreiner Cash, who's doing a phenomenal job in strengthening our Buffalo Public Schools in partnership with the board.
He sure is. We've had on the show a couple times. It's great to hear from him, and he's very direct and blunt, and he's very articulate in terms of the changes that he's made in the system, which I think have been remarkable, and again, in conjunction with Say Yes and others in the community.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that interests me about this whole government, effectively, you are the private sector representative.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, in terms of where the action begins, do foundations like yours, do you react to what government policy is, or how closely do you get involved with the creation of government policy? Because sometimes, for example, let's take the opioid problem. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody's trying to wrestle with that at mm-hmm. all levels, and it's a monstrously horrible, terrible problem, mm-hmm. which, you know, all you can do is pray that there's a solution out there someplace. But it seems like everybody's jumping to try to do something. And in a situation, that's just one example, mm-hmm. but when there's an obvious problem in society, where do you begin the process of building that collaborative with the government or without it?
Sure. Well, we always do start with the three sectors at the table, because the three sectors have very different and complementary assets. Business approaches problems from a business standpoint. Government has a social safety net standpoint, and nonprofits are, you know, absolutely solution oriented from a service standpoint. So ideally, you have the three sectors at the table who agree to work together to achieve a shared solution. For example, increase educational achievement in our community, or improve the workforce pipeline in our community. You know, we have 140,000 jobs coming open in the next 9 years, and that's strictly due to retirement. And we're not going to have 140,000 new people moving into Western New York in that time frame. So how do we grow our own? That right now is a very critical question that's on the table. And we have formed the Employ Buffalo Niagara Coalition with two very promising innovative initiatives that are supporting it, one being led by the Buffalo Niagara Partnership, the second one, Thrive Buffalo, being led by the United Way in partnership with the Community Foundation and the city. And business is at the table as the majority. So together, we're working to solve the workforce opportunity.
We've talked about that. I want to come back to that because that's extremely important, and we'll be right back with more from our house to yours after these important messages.
Hi, this is Linda Malaya, president of Hunt Mortgage. Mortgage rates have recently dropped, and now is an ideal time to purchase a home and lock in a low rate. If you're already a homeowner, let's discuss your current mortgage. There may never be a better time to reduce your rate or access the equity in your home by refinancing with Hunt Mortgage. Call Hunt Mortgage at 633-3700 for a free, no obligation consultation.
Hunt Mortgage is a licensed mortgage banker, New York Department of Financial Services, and an equal opportunity lender.
Welcome back to our house. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the soon-to-be completely, totally all-new huntrealestate.com, which will be this Tuesday, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and homeownership experience. huntrealestate.com is the only place on the web where you can find a complete inventory of homes available all through Western New York and Central New York, Eastern New York, and even out to Phoenix, Arizona. And you'll also find access to a complete set of homeownership services at huntrealestate.com, which is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA, all across upstate and again into the Boston suburbs and now out to Phoenix, Arizona as well. And the show is brought to you by Hunt Mortgage. You just heard from the president of Hunt Mortgage. And for more information about our exclusive mortgage program that allows you effectively to roll the cost of home improvements into your mortgage, effectively allowing you to buy the before and live the after, call 633-3700 and ask for details. And ask about our pre-purchase commitment and even our warm home loan as well, only at Hunt Mortgage, 633-3700. And if you just want to pick up the phone and ask a question about anything relative to real estate, call the Hunt Customer Service Center, 633-9400. One of our customer service reps will either answer your call directly and whatever your question is right there on the phone, or they'll direct you to the appropriate professional for whatever it is you may need, whether you're considering buying or selling a home, financing a home, insuring a home, or even fixing up the one you have. And remember, our guarantee stands. We will sell your home, or ERA will buy it. Nothing stronger in the market, and that's the seller security plan, available only through a Hunt Real Estate ERA real estate professional. I'm in the studio today with Clotilde Perez-Bodidecker, the president and CEO of the Community Foundation. We've been discussing the issue of how we meet needs in our community. I think that's a broader sense. Mm-hmm. And how the Community Foundation itself contributes to meeting those needs and collaborates with others to get where this community needs to go, we've got a long way to go. We always do, and we always will. But I think we're making progress. Before we go into that workforce development issue, which I think is foremost right now, we have a caller on the line. This is Jay from Buffalo. Jay, how can we help you?
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a question about the Say Yes program. I have what I call skin in the game, mm-hmm. kids in the school system. I should have three kids within the Buffalo Public School System. But I go back to when Say Yes first came here. There was a study that said Buffalo runs a multi-tier educational system. And if you put a kid at City Honors and you have kids in these other schools, you become aware of this multi-tier and how some kids get a better education than other ones. But I would like to know, the city has talked and Dr. Cash has talked about the success rate, the graduation rate. How successful are the graduates in the colleges? I think for transparency's sake, parents should know, if you go to this high school, what is the success rate when you go to college? Are you fulfilling, at the end of 1 year, did you get 1 year of credits? At the end of 2 years, are you on the way to graduation? There has to be some kind of transparency by an outside agency here on the success rate of Buffalo Public School graduates. Mm-hmm. Because that's where the competition is. It's in greater society. I'll wait your answer.
It's a very interesting question, and I think there's. I'm gonna specify it a little bit. Is there a difference in graduation rate between, let's say, that one tier of high schools that Jay refers to, the ones where there's more difficulty getting into those schools, City Honors, et cetera? Is there a difference between those schools and the balance of the schools? And if so, how and why?
Yeah, so let me just start by saying that equitable access to excellent educational experience is the goal for all students in all of our public school systems, including the Buffalo Public Schools. And Dr. Cash is keenly aware of that and I think has made some great strides in aligning high schools with different workforce opportunities and creating the programs that will support what Jay has described. So I don't have statistics at my fingertips. They are available, and certainly you can call the Say Yes office and or the Buffalo Public Schools, and they can make this available. The selective schools where you test in will have higher college acceptance rates. But also, remember, we have a choice program in the Buffalo Public Schools. You have your McKinleys and your Hutch Techs, and so it really is it's a very difficult question to answer because of the choice dynamic in the Buffalo Public Schools. But when we step back, what we need to continue to work towards is to ensure that every student has excellent education at their fingertips in all public schools, including the Buffalo Public Schools. And that is what Dr. Cash has set out as the goal and what he has made great progress towards achieving.
So you mentioned, and Dr. Cash has mentioned that here on the show, that there is an alignment of schools with certain vocational opportunities, mm-hmm. or what seems to be a demand,
yes.
in the local society as well as society more generally. This goes back to the workforce development issue. It's a monstrous challenge right now for, among other things, the demographic reason alone, a number of people that are just aging out of the workforce right
That's
now.
Right.
It's 100 and some odd thousand.
140,000 retirements predicted in the next 9 years. Statistically, this was studies that have been done over the last couple of years. So we have to, the next great opportunity for our community is to focus on workforce and on the mobilization of our human capital. We know we have jobs that are looking for people, and we know we have people who are looking for jobs. So building that bridge should be the focus of business, government, and the nonprofit and philanthropic sector. No one has the answer. The answers lie between and amongst us, and that's the work of Employ Buffalo Niagara. Look, we have folks in this community who are working 2 and 3 jobs at minimum wage and still living in poverty. Those people have the get up and go to try to make it work. How do we help them move to the next earning level with a little bit of training and a little bit of support? That's what strategically we need to do in general, but employers more specifically need to be a part of that solution. And that's what Employ Buffalo Niagara is really looking at, and the Buffalo Niagara Partnership is driving through their collaborative effort here. Because if you can figure out how to get to 2 or 3 jobs with kids in tow and public transportation, that's a heck of an employee that just needs a little bit of investment to help them move up the earnings ladder. So mm-hmm. often we call that the working poor, right? We shouldn't have working poor in our community, because that's great talent that we need to enable to fill those 140,000 jobs that we need to fill for in order for our economy to continue, much less expand.
The mission of our show here is to help people protect and enhance their investment in real estate. And that can only happen if somebody has a good job, frankly.
You got it.
And so this is why this workforce development thing is so important.
Huge opportunity.
You know, what strikes me, Clotilde, as I listen to you talk and talk to others in the community is kind of the fundamental problem we have here in Western New York, which goes something like this. All the facts that you mentioned in terms of our needs in terms of the workforce are evident and getting more pronounced by the day. Yet we don't seem to be an attractive place for people to move to. I think we're getting there, but we're building the coolness factor. But one of the things that we feel here is this momentum.
Absolutely.
But what's happening, though, is that there's a lot of, I mean, momentum is not a continuous, even thing. It ebbs and flows. And I'm sensing among some people in business today that there's a little bit of a feeling that maybe we've kind of crested a little bit in our momentum, and we're trying to figure out ways to keep it moving in the right direction. One of the best ways to do that is to make us seem more competitive to other parts of the country and the world. Yet when the ratings come out, we don't do so well in many categories. How do you look at that kind of data, and how do you deal with it?
We absolutely do look at that data at the foundation with our partners and think about it. I mean, I think that what you're describing is a very productive place to be. We are in the midst of an economic resurgence. It is early days, and we need to continually stay on the leading edge of that and continue to ask what's next and how do we address that opportunity of what's next. You know, one of the biggest challenges in the community is the fact that we are in the midst of a global community. The demographics and the browning of America is a very real dynamic, and yet we live with a 90% isolation index in this community, which means there's a 90% probability that a white person will not have a meaningful interaction with a person of color. That's a problem. And when you walk around your life, any listener who's on this radio listening to us today, look around you and see the diversity that surrounds you. We have a city that's majority-minority, and yet the segregation of this community works against us. So to the degree that we can all do our part to build a more inclusive society, we will be that much more attractive, because we have an authenticity of place that is second to none, and a quality of life that is second to none. And it's very real. People are going to be seeking places like Buffalo. And by the way, we have all that beautiful waterfront fresh water that we take for granted because we've lived with it all of our lives. So we need to work in more intentional ways. And I would urge listeners to go to the racial equity website, racialequitybuffalo.org, to read the dividend report that is on the racialequitybuffalo.org website, to see what tremendous opportunity we have to build a more welcoming community where all individuals have the opportunity to live to their fullest potential. That is the gateway to the future. That's what our kids are looking for, and that's what's going to attract folks to Western New York, and more importantly, keep folks in Western New York.
I couldn't agree more with everything that you just said. Problem we have is businesses often think in kind of short-term measures because of the fact that they have responsibility to shareholders and that kind of thing. And one of the problems that we have is that in spite of all the good things that we've done, we still have, in a relative sense, an oppressive business climate here, governmental regulation climate. Mm-hmm. I just came back from Nashville, for example, and a friend of mine is a real estate broker there, executive, and he showed two pictures of the downtown of Nashville, one just 9 years ago and one today, and it's shocking. I counted 9 cranes out of my hotel window, 9, mm-hmm. which is an amazing thing. We do have to go to a break. We'll be right back with more from our house tours after these important messages.
Hi, this is Linda Malaya, president of Hunt Mortgage. Mortgage rates have recently dropped, and now is an ideal time to purchase a home and lock in a low rate. If you're already a homeowner, let's discuss your current mortgage. There may never be a better time to reduce your rate or access the equity in your home by refinancing with Hunt Mortgage. Call Hunt Mortgage at 633-3700 for a free, no obligation consultation.
Hunt Mortgage is a licensed mortgage banker, New York Department of Financial Services, and an equal opportunity lender.
Welcome back to our house. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the soon-to-be-completely-all-new HuntRealEstate.com. As of Tuesday, please check it out. It'll be well worth your time and energy, and you'll learn a lot. And that's what our promise is at HuntRealEstate.com. The show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage, home of the pre-purchase commitment and low rate and closing cost guarantee. If you're interested in real estate financing, and almost everyone should be at one point or another, you need to speak to the people at Hunt Mortgage, 633-3700. I'm in the studio today with Clotilde Perez-Bodidecker, the president and CEO of the Community Foundation, and we've been having kind of a far-reaching discussion on everything from what the foundation itself does and how it operates to what's going on in our community that the foundation and others are working on to make this a better place to live. And that's kind of fundamentally what every foundation should be about, I guess, in one way, shape, or form, depending on how precise they or how specific their mission may be. We do have a caller on the line, Clotilde. This is John from Rochester. John, how can we help you?
Hey, Peter.
How you doing, John?
Guest sounds like she's doing a great job for
she
what
is.
To work with. But I have to say, in her defense of government, and we need government. We definitely need government. However, in New York State especially, government has gone too far. There are too many resources that are in government, not only state but also federal, and the government has to, you know, take the put off the accelerator a little bit and drop back and put more resources in the hands of the private sector. Peter mentioned regulations. The cost of a subdivision lot has almost doubled in the last 10 years to develop a subdivision lot due to government regulations from a real estate perspective. So I maintain that your organization should try to lobby, at least in New York State, the effect of issues like public employee unions, which I think are acting like mobs and have taken control of this state. So I think in the future, maybe you should help get resources out of the hands of government and put it more in the hands of the private sector, which is more efficient. And this tax burden is just killing this upstate area.
Well, interesting comments, and not John's not alone in those kind of sentiments. How would you react to what John just said?
Yeah, well, we live in this wonderful and messy system called democracy. And we all have a role to play, John, and that's why we have elections and why we have the opportunity to lobby and advocate. And it's a continuous, dynamic conversation and set of activities to find the right balance between the three sectors, public, private, and nonprofit. And I, you know, hear what you're saying, and I think this is where our election system, imperfect as it is, needs to be leveraged actively. And I would urge folks to get involved and get to the table and let your voices be heard and be part of finding that right balance for now and continue to iterate the challenge of that activity.
We do have a texted question, which is an interesting one because it may seem obvious to many of our listeners, and it is, why does the Say Yes program discriminate against suburban schools?
Yeah, the Say Yes program actually focuses on the largest school district that has the greatest number of candidates for the future of our workforce and also the highest level of economic need. So it was a very strategic decision that was made. Where is the largest concentration of our future workforce? That's the Buffalo Public Schools. There isn't a close second. And also, in addition to that, where's the largest opportunity to make a difference? And that's how the city of Buffalo was selected.
That's, you know, it's a very interesting point because it also If you look at the success rate, the graduation rates, it will vary from school district to school district, and you have to start, in my mind, why wouldn't you start with the one with the greatest need? And that's apparently
why. Yeah, because that's where you have the greatest opportunity for investment.
Exactly. Or hopefully the greatest and fastest return as well.
Exactly, which we're seeing.
The you used a phrase, work in intentional ways, which mm-hmm. which is a lot of meaning in that phrase, I think sometimes confused by some people, going to John's point about government, it's confused by the process of just getting reelected, where you're no longer working in intentional ways, you're working in very personal ways to stay in office. And this, again, is part of our messy democracy, and something that I think none of us would choose to give up. Yet it does, every election cycle, I believe we lose progress, just because, first of all, there's the unknown of who's going to get elected. And secondly, there's the time away from working on issues while you're campaigning, which is, like a congressman, it's almost continuous. And this is a dilemma that we face, and we're not going to solve that today or any time. I hope we don't, because I don't think it's something that should necessarily be solved. At the same time, the more, as John points out, the more government we have, the more layers of government, the more offices there are out there, the more distraction, frankly, just by way of the process we run into, such that we have less time to do the things that we know we should do. The other thing that John alluded to, which he didn't say, and that is the cost of getting things done. The cost, you know what the cost factor is at the Community Foundation. Mm-hmm. You know what it is at the United Way. You know what it is at all, because it's clearly published. We don't really know what the cost factor is to get something done at the governmental level.
Oh, it's our tax levy.
That's the total cost.
Yeah.
But what percentage of that is actually in the administrative side, and what actually is in terms of delivery of service to the constituents?
Absolutely. Well, I think government should be held accountable for results, right? So I think elected officials need to be able to communicate clearly to their constituents the results that they're providing with our tax dollars. They are public servants, and I have great respect for people who step out in that arena to do that work. It's often thankless work. It's 24/7 work, and it's critical.
And you're under attack all the time.
All the time. So government leaders, those that work for us because we've elected them and we actually are funding their salaries through our tax dollars, need to be accountable to us and need to be in conversation with us about the results we want to see and the results that they are delivering.
Before we go any further, I just want to interject one thing totally unrelated, but somewhat related to what we're talking about here, and that is that you have been very active in another organization here in town and nationally as president of this organization, and that's the Junior League. And this is, I think, an often misunderstood organization, but you and I are both pretty familiar with it. I'm, as an observer, you as a direct participant and a leader. But right now, beginning today, is the 20th Decorator Show House, which is held every 2 years here in Buffalo. And today it starts today at 288 Lincoln Parkway, the Palmer Centennial House. And you can buy tickets. I think you go online, jlbuffalo.org, or you can go to the house directly. But it is presented by the Junior League, and it's now through May 19th. It is at 288 Lincoln Parkway, as I mentioned. And all proceeds will go to benefit a significant community project that's yet to be designated. And this is sponsored by the Buffalo News and the Junior League. So I encourage everyone to go there. It's quite a sight. I saw that before and after in this particular house. And once again, it's an incredibly remarkable job that everyone working on that house have. I mean, it's amazing. You've got to see it. It's truly a transformation. But also, it's filled with ideas for you and your house, and again, to our mission, which is to help you protect and enhance your investment in real estate. One of those things is by fixing up the house you have. And so I encourage you to go there and check it out. It's an amazing site. But back to the point here about the whole relationship of the three parties that you're talking about, three
sectors,
mm-hmm. the government, the for-profit, the business sector, and also the not-for-profit sector. Oftentimes, they're viewed as in conflict, which is a kind of a sad thing. How do you are kind of a master of maneuvering through those three sectors, but what's it really like? I mean, how do you, Is it just by strictly focusing on the goal and saying, we're going to get there sooner or later and somehow I'm going to get everybody to work together? How do you make that happen?
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, at this work starts on the assumption that everybody gets up in the morning to succeed when they go to work. And that people have shared goals, that people want to be part of something big and bold. And it is on that premise that we convene the three sectors around critical opportunities / challenges to develop shared goals, to assess and take inventory of which assets reside in which sector, and then how do we leverage those assets to create synergies that get us to solutions that no one sector can achieve on their own. It's tremendously exciting work. It's addictive work in the best sense of the word, because everybody then tastes success, and success has many mothers. So once you begin to see the progress and you begin to understand that together you're making change that you couldn't do alone, it just builds on itself. And that's the momentum that we're seeing across many issues in this community right now. And we're thrilled to be at the center of this work, really just supporting the opportunities to bring the sectors together and facilitating that phenomenal solutions-oriented body of work.
You know, it's amazing to me the selflessness of people like you and your position and the leaders of the other foundations in terms of how you – I mean, your position is not going to make you rich. And if it did, it'd be a mistake because obviously you're not there to do that. But it requires that organizations like yours find people with tremendous skill that have that same selflessness. How difficult is it given the job situation we have here in town?
You know, Western New York is blessed with people who love this region and who want to make a difference. That's the core of the work, right? And those people exist in nonprofits, they exist in government, and they exist in business. So to the degree that you can build on-ramps to collaborative action and opportunities for folks to work together and make big things happen, it's really just that architecture that needs to be continuously nurtured and built, and that community table that needs to be set. But we have no shortage of people who want to make a difference in Western New York.
There may be some of our listeners that want to make a difference. How would they interact with the Community Foundation? How could they help you?
Yeah, they can just go, you know, cfgb.org or give us a call, and we'd be happy to sit down with you and explore ways that you might be able to connect with making a difference, either with your time, your talent, or your treasure.
We do have one more caller on the line, Clotilde, and then we're going to sign off. This is Marie from Cheektowaga. Marie, quickly, how can we help you?
Yeah, hi. In reference to the job situation, my son is 17. He has ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
I've been a single mom since he was four. When I was 40, I went back to college. I've always loved the medical field, so I got two associate's degrees. I just finished off my Bachelor of Health Science, and I took on a job working security while I was going to school.
Mm-hmm.
And just as an example, in the last 3 months, I have put in over 500 applications and resumes. I have gotten called for 4 interviews. Went to the job fair this past Tuesday that Tim Kennedy sponsored.
Mm-hmm.
I turned in, there probably had to be about 27 medical booths. I turned in 22 resumes. I have not gotten one phone call.
Marie, can I ask you a question here?
Sure.
Could you please contact the foundation? Perhaps they can help you. Because right now we're running out of time here. But I think you speak for many people, Marie, that go through the motions to get the education, then find themselves stymied.
Yeah, if Marie could call 311 and ask for Thrive Buffalo, there is a whole new body of work that to support people like Marie in connecting with jobs.
And that's a great way to close the show. Thank you, Clotilde Perez-Bowe-Dedecker, for joining us today as president and CEO of the Community Foundation. I appreciate the work that your foundation is doing in collaboration with others in our community. We're a better community because of it. I want to thank our listeners for being with us. We'll be back again next week at the same time. And remember, when it comes to real estate, all of upstate is Hunt Country.